Okay, let's call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. We have a quorum constituted here. Senator Bennett, Senator Ray, Senator Jarrett, and present. We have before us a couple of bills that have already had previous testimony. I would like to bring up the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 295, which was adopted by the committee previously. We've had additional testimony, and since that time, we have come up with two additional committee substitutes for consideration. One that sets up an optional mechanism for participation in the mental health insurance, or one that is a mandatory participation. And it appears that we're down to one or the other at this time. We did close the public testimony on this bill. What are the desires of the committee? Senator Bennett, we would need a motion to adopt the committee substitute with the optional clause in it. Is there objection? Okay, we have then before us the Senate committee substitute for 295 Labor and Commerce with the optional clause included. Is there a motion on this? Okay, is there objection? None? The bill is moved from committee with individual recommendations. Okay, we had another bill that was up on Friday. The public testimony was taken.
It's a half bill, if anyway.
House Bill 79, which was an act relating to the financial institutions examinations and it provided for an effective date. I understand that the testimony was near completion. Was there anybody here to speak on House Bill 79? Mr. Patrick?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick, Director of Banking Securities Incorporation. I would like to briefly testify in favor of passing out House Bill 79. There was one change on the House that was not a part of the original bill, and that was that in Section 2 on line 28, the original bill as requested had a period after commissioner, so that it would read under Section 2, banks regulated under the chapter are not subject to examination. Banks regulated under this chapter are subject to examination at the discretion of the commissioner. The only reason that I requested the bill in that particular form is that as the conditions of various financial institutions change from one to another, that the commissioner be given the discretion to examine when it was necessary rather than a particular schedule. Other than that, this is the third legislature I've been trying to raise the maximum fees from $7,500 to $12,000, and I would request that it be passed on.
Any questions? $25,000? Is that an amendment?
No.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr.
Kirkpatrick.
Thank you. Was there anybody else here to speak on behalf of the bill? Okay, we will close the public testimony.
We'll have an individual recommendation.
Okay, there was a suggested amendment to possibly delete that clause there that says that they shall be examined not less than every 24 months. Is there a any desire by the committee there to leave it to the discretion of the commissioner or to put this clause in where they must be examined then at least once every 2 years? I don't know if it puts an undue burden on the department or not to have that requirement where they go in every 24 months and do this. But I guess the situation would arise, as Mr. Patrick there, would the situation arise there where the examination may not have to take place during that period of time? Or? Or would you normally do this in the course of a two-year period?
I can't imagine a situation that we would not be in a financial institution not less than every 18 months. So what I'm saying is that we would be in at least every 24 months.
So the language doesn't make much difference then on this?
Would you feel more comfortable with it if you took it out?
At this point, yes, sir.
Yeah, I have no objections on that.
Take it out.
Senator Reid, you moved then to remove...
Move to amend it on line 28 for the period after commissioner and to delete the rest of the material on the pages 28, or line 28, 29.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. So done. All right. What are the wishes of the committee in regarding the bill?
Move without individual recommendations.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. House Bill 79, as amended, is out of our Lake and Commerce Committee. Okay, we have also before us Senate Bill 399. The sponsor of the bill is Senator Fahrenkamp. Senator Fahrenkamp here? Okay. Senator, would you wish to...
Mr. Chairman, I gave my testimony Friday. If you have questions, Brian is here.
Okay. Were there any questions or comments there, or any additional testimony on Senate Bill 399 at this time?
I have a lot of comments, but this is a family hour, so I don't know.
Were there, seeing or hearing no other testimony, we'll close the public hearing regarding Senate Bill 399. What are the wishes of the committee?
Move to discharge individual recommendations.
Any objection? Hearing none. The bill is discharged from the committee. What else do we have then? Where's that water well? It's not my packet. Okay. Okay. We have Senate Bill 474 before us, which is a an act relating to exemptions from licensing requirements as electrical administrators. And this is Senate Bill 474. It expands a list of exemptions from licensing requirements for electrical administrators, and it adds persons who install submersible pumps and wire them to the wellhead, controller unit, and water wells. Is there anybody here to speak on behalf of that? Sir?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Bob McCullough, Director of Labor Standards and Safety with the Department of Labor. Senate Bill 474 proposes to exempt the installation of water well pumps from the electrical administrator licensing requirements. Although the department has no particular objection to allowing an installer to wire a submersible pump and position it in a well, wiring from the wellhead to the controller should be performed only by a qualified electrician and inspected by an electrical administrator. The controller can be located anywhere in a home, school, or other building, and it is critical that the person installing the wiring is knowledgeable with the proper wiring method required for the particular occupancy in which the wiring is being done. Further, since it is not possible for the Department of Labor to inspect every electrical installation, the supervision of such work by an electrical administrator is essential. The department is opposed to water well pump wiring being installed beyond the well head by a person other than a qualified electrician under the supervision of an electrical administrator. That would be a zero fiscal note from the Department of Labor. Also with me at this time is Al Dwyer, who is our chief electrical inspector for Southeast Alaska. He's also an electrical administrator, and he's here to answer any technical questions you may have with regards to this legislation.
Okay. Again, the department doesn't have a strong position one way or the other on this, or what is your position?
Yes, Senator. We're opposed to an installer wiring it beyond the wellhead itself. What this would mean is that once they install the pump and position it in the well, that they'd roll up the connection cable and leave it at the wellhead for a qualified electrician to take it from there into the building to connect it. It could be inside of the building at a panel box, or it could be anywhere in the building.
I guess we have had some problems with this here in the past, there, particularly in areas where it's difficult to get somebody that has the electrical administrator's license. Is that what that requires?
Yes.
Okay. And I think what we're trying to resolve here is at least allowing the work from the submersible pump into the unit itself, into the house.
I see.
That's the problem what? There that the electrical administrator has is from the wellhead to the house.
Yes, exactly.
Why is that a problem?
Well, if you don't require a certificate of fitness for an electrician to wire from the house to the, excuse me, from the wellhead to the house, unless you have an electrical administrator to supervise that work, and under this bill, I understand an electrical administrator would be exempt. So there'd be no way of ensuring that that was installed safely and properly without a journeyman electrician installing it from the wellhead to, it could be the house, it could be inside of a building or a prison, or it could be anywhere located in a building. It could be at the connection could be at the panel box, as I understand it. It could be somewhere else in the building, where that might require a different methodology to wire that particular part of it. Somebody didn't have the knowledge that a qualified electrician had may not be able to do that safely and properly, and could cause potential danger to the occupants of that type of a structure. Again, Wild Wire is here, and perhaps he can expand on that and answer better than I as to some of the problems that he's observed with this type of an operation.
Well, I guess I suppose I'm not an electrical engineer, but it seems to me if you wire up the motor in the wrong and connect the wrong wires to the wrong places, you burn up the motor. And I would think that after two or three motors, you'd learn how to wire it right if you're bearing the cost.
Yes, I can understand that. I think Mr. Dwyer could also... perhaps you better come up here and explain a bit.
Okay, any questions here of Mr. McCullis? Thank you. Mr. Dwyer?
Yes, for the record, my name's Al Dwyer, State Electrical Inspector, Southeast Area, Department of Labor. And I agree, you know, if you hook something up and it burns up, you've learned a lesson. Hopefully you don't do it again. But it's not just the theory behind hooking up a submersible motor or anything. It's the wiring method used once you hit the building. Once you go inside the building, you could have a Union Oil dump, you could have a prison, you could have a hospital, an orphanage, you could have a hotel, and it could be any one of those. Every single one of those occupancies has a different wiring method. And we require presently that a person have 4 years experience before they can even take a journeyman's test, is what we call a certificate of fitness. And then another 4 years as a journeyman before you can even sit and take the master electricians, which is what we call electrical administrators. So if something happens with the wiring inside that building from that well, and the reason we object to it is the controller could be anywhere. It very rarely is it at the top of the well. It's usually inside the building. And so we're concerned about the way in which it's wired inside the structure. The National Electrical Code is clear on how these things are supposed to be wired in different kinds of occupancies. And we're concerned about that.
Senator, what if the wiring is outside of the building?
The only objection to that I'd have is the code's specific as to how deep it's supposed to be. And I'm not really concerned about outside the building.
Supposedly, if we amended this to say the installation in the water well of the submersible pump motor and the wiring to the wellhead controller unit, if outside the building.
I'd go along with that.
But if the buildings there that you were talking about there that would require or that would create the greatest concern are the type of facilities that would have the other electrical wiring in place only take place if you had somebody that had the certificate of fitness.
Well, legally, the only people that are exempt in a residence, for instance, would be the homeowner building it for himself. You know, we can't protect him from himself, but. I guess
what we were trying to get away there is from the homeowner there that was putting in the well or had somebody put the well in for himself and then.
Well, the homeowner would be exempt.
Homeowner is exempt.
Yeah, he doesn't have any worry.
But if I hired you to put it in for me.
No, I can't schedule.
Senator Wright, if I hired you tonight. Okay, you indicate that you wouldn't have any problems if outside the
Building or structure?
Building or structure?
I think the main thing is that the well drillers want to be able to test their appliance to see how many gallons per minute, whether it's tasty and a few other things. And what I've seen them do in Southeast is to take their leads that go down to the submersible motor and temporarily hook it up to the construction service that's present on the site just to see if the pump does operate and that there's no ground faults or shorts in the conductors going down to the motor. So they'll still be able to test their equipment using the temporary service to see if it operates. So I don't think that's a problem. Usually the well goes in either long before the job starts or just after the footings are poured, and there's usually a temporary service there that they can attach to see if it works before they run away. But that's about it. So I don't think it affects their ability to guarantee that the pump does pump.
Okay, sure.
As you're saying, up in our area, for instance, they put a well down. Many times they'll run that well for 3 or 4 days to develop it, and they'll run it off to temporary power.
Well, this would give them a wide exemption where they could drill a well in, and run the controller inside of a building that should only have qualified people wiring inside of it. It's a broad exemption, and I think it can get us in trouble.
Okay, by putting on Senator Ray's amendment, what does that do?
Well, it allows them to. One of the complaints I had from the well drillers was they don't want to leave the town, or you know, they jump on the ferry and they go from town to town. They don't want to leave the town unless they can ensure that pump and that well is going to operate, and they want to be able to run it. And as Senator Bennett brought up, that they can use a temporary service for that purpose. We have very few inspectors and. We have a spot check program, and it's important to us that anybody that's installing wiring for hire is licensed, tested, and qualified.
Well, again, depending on how strict you want it, if you want to be more liberal, you just leave that in with the additional language. If you want to be a little more strict, then you put the period after pump motor and just have the installation of in a water well a submersible pump motor, period.
We'd like to see that.
See? It depends on which way you want to do it, the main areas.
Well, excuse me, Senator. They should be able to make the leads, those three leads, up to the submersible motor, run it up through the well casing, and leave it coiled up at the top so that they can test it on the temporary service. And see, the electricians have to pick up that wellhead as an electrode for the building anyway, so they'll be out there, so, or the homeowner, whatever it might be.
It's usually on its own circuit.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going more into a structure that's occupied a certain length of time and I kind of go on and on and on. I kind of like the language as it was there, but I wouldn't object to put your amendment if outside the building.
Well, I didn't put any amendment in it. I said if you wanted to put
I don't even know where this bill came from.
This is a request here that people had in regards to the problems that they've had in getting their water pumps hooked up.
Someday
this one? Yeah.
Well, you were gone, right?
You didn't travel so early.
I haven't been there very soon.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, thank you. Was there anybody else here to testify on Senate Bill 474?
My name is Bill Stoltz from Representative Cotton's office. We'd like the bill to stay just the way it is. Representative Cotton's concern is that the well drillers came to him. The well driller normally has a pump business on the side, and he sells and installs the pump. And with the electrician, journeyman electrician, there's been problems in the past with them improperly wiring them, and there's been problems guaranteeing their work, and as well they need to test their water pressure hookup. So they feel that they need the language in the bill as is to perform this.
Representative Cotton's idea and the well drillers is they want to do the work themselves. They don't want anybody else doing it. They want an electrician. They want to do it themselves. And around it because some electricians have not wired it up properly and they burn them out and nobody will buy the parts, they won't take the blame or anything else. So that's what the well drillers are talking about. But then you got another, then you're going to get into a fight between the electricians and the well drillers.
I think Senator raised potential, should solve both problems. The well driller can hook it up, do a temporary service, check and make sure he pumped. He can bring in, develop the well. He can leave it coiled up at the surface of the ground. And the electrician can come wire it into the house and into the circuit box. I think you have both ways with that.
With that amendment. Right. Or I was thinking of a possibility of if the problem is with commercial buildings, then possibly you ought to take a look at either putting it or that the exemption here would apply only to non-commercial buildings.
Excuse me, Senator Zaroff. On page 4 of the water well drillers, they explain the letter. They explain a problem with the, even the hooking up of the motor. There's apparently there's been problems with journeyman electricians doing the work. No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I just said you didn't like it.
I said I like it.
Okay. We'll close the public testimony on Senate Bill 474. Are there amendments?
I'll make the amendment. So line 13. They delete the period, phase 2. Delete the period and add... And the wiring for the wellhead controller unit is outside a building or structure.
Okay. Any objections asking unanimous consent?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, so amended.
See, I'm there too. They just use me any way they want, you know, and then they throw me away.
Sure. What are the wishes of the committee?
I don't wish to put it off.
He only got through to put it
off. Is there a motion to move the bill
from committee?
Please. Yes, please. Motion to move the bill. And we split the fee.
Okay, Senate Bill 474 as amended is moved from the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Thank you. As amended. Okay, we have before us Senate Concurrent Resolution 35. The sponsor of the resolution is Senator Victor Fisher. And Senator Fisher, can you give us a quick rundown of the bill, please?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, my name is Vic Fisher, Senator from Anchorage. SCR 35 is directed at the broad insurance issues affecting Alaska that may be beyond the state's abilities to deal with, and essentially the resolution is designed as a complement to Senate Bill 377 and other legislation currently being considered. Specifically, the resolution asks the governor to look beyond the confines of the state and see what can be done in conjunction working with other states, council of state governments, federal administration and others to look at national regulation of the industry, establishment of multi-state insurance pools, and development of multi-state reinsurance compacts. There's also a separate provision to have the Division of Insurance report to the legislature by the beginning of next session on a number of aspects such as availability and affordability of insurance, market assistance plans for high-risk markets, and indication of the kind of statutory changes needed to make the division function more effectively to protect both the interests of the public and the insurance industry.
Are there any questions concerning the resolution?
Yeah, this is Lounsbury.
Yes. What I was looking at there, the department has indicated they have...
Might have to make some kind of...
Is there anybody here from the department?
They were asked.
Mr. Chairman, I looked at their fiscal note, and my recommendation would be to zero out the fiscal note. I see no reason for an agency to put in this kind of fiscal note just to prepare a report to the legislature. They don't need a fancy printing job. They can just Xerox enough copies for legislators.
On page 2, Mr. Chairman, on line 3, I would move to delete to direct the Division of Insurance. So it would read, further resolve, the legislature respectfully request the governor to report to the legislature.
No, no objection, sir.
Okay, thank you. That with that that should alleviate the zero fiscal or the fiscal note that's there, right?
I would.
Yes.
I would think so.
Call for the governor. Okay, there are some other concerns. I don't have any real problems.
That's the only concern I can see.
I would like a motion.
Move to discharge the recommendations.
Okay.
Ask unanimous consent.
Any objection? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want
another one? You were here for House Bill 63. We postponed that one.
Oh.
Until later on.
What day?
We'll have to check our time schedule. We'll get back with you. If you'll leave your number with Michael here, we'll make sure that you are notified. Okay, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting. I want to thank everybody for being present today.